God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 22nd day of February 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music from Brenda Waterloo, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. Christ is sufficient for our finances. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
That has long been one of my favorite songs, and so true it is. Amen? If we could only learn to see things the way Christ sees them. What a blessing. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we conclude this month, Christ is sufficient for our finances, and the series that have been going on, of course, Brother Lynn, Brother Scott, filled in the last couple of weeks, and we were gone. Appreciate your prayers there, and those travels went very well as we were able to assist in a couple churches there with their stewardship. And another with a family conference, which reminds me, coming up starting next Sunday, we have a month-long theme, Christ is Sufficient for Our Family. And on Sunday mornings, especially, we're going to be dealing with issues of the family. You'll want to be a part of that. In a couple weeks, Brother Lee will be making some announcements, probably starting today, but in a couple weeks, we have a family conference that will be here on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you have kids at home, you'll want to make plans to be a part of that. We're asking those of you that do not have kids at home to come and babysit the kids that are still at home. Amen. So those young families can be a part. And so we're looking forward to that in a couple weeks. You'll hear a lot more on that. But make plans to be a part of that. I believe God's going to use that in a great way to strengthen our families. A strong church comes from strong families. It's that simple. And the stronger our families become, the stronger the church can become for Jesus Christ. And so we're excited for that series coming up starting next Sunday. Had a testimony planned, and I do not think they're here this morning. They were supposed to be gone and to be gone all weekend, but I don't not see Anthony and Dory Mears. If so, they might start hiding now. I'm not sure. But in this, Miss Dory had sent me a testimony. She said that we were welcome to share since they were going to be gone this weekend. So I wanted to share with you. This morning, and yes, at the banquet, our theme has been Christ is sufficient for our finances. And I think sometimes in the circumstances that we're in, we forget how great God is and how Christian principles actually do work. And so I put out there so often the preacher, well, he speaks about it and he talks about it. But we had a couple testimonies last night. And then Anthony and Dory wanted to share this morning. Miss Dory writes, Anthony and I have had many rough patches this last year. But the Lord has always provided us with food. And we have learned how to live within our means. Since we've moved into the new building, I am no longer cleaning the pumpkin. So we prayed about how in the world we would be able to give our promised amount now. What the Lord has provided. It is really amazing, she says. When we first started going to Central, we were not tithing to any church. And we were barely meeting our bills month to month. That was when I was working full-time at Conoco and Anthony working full-time. We started tithing faithfully not long after we joined the church. It is totally amazing thing to see how giving God what he has asked for really makes your finances turn around. We have had our struggles, sure. However, after Sammy was born and we chose for me to stay home, we still made it. I always say the Lord provides better than we can. The Lord has once again provided the way to make our building fund promise. The school system has computers left over every year, and every year you can go up to the Board of Education and buy their used computers for about $80 to $100. Well, this year they decided not to store them for long, and once the sale of the computers came to stop, they told the employees they were up for taking until the time came when they would have the company come and dispose of them. Okay, Anthony has been working selling computers every night for the last 4 weeks. The orders just keep coming in. He has worked so hard. We have had some bad debt that is a struggle in our finances. And he prayed that we could just have the debt off our backs so our paychecks would be the perfect amount of money to tithe, building fund manna, save, and pay our monthly expenses. With our tax money, the Lord has provided over half of our debt in just the last 4 weeks. When Anthony comes home at night, I just say, thank you, Lord. It has been a consistent thank you since the computers were given to us. God has blessed so much over the last 2 years. I cry at the drop of a hat right now, just thinking about how gracious my Lord and Savior has been to our family. Even when we think we can't afford to give that money, we also look back and say, we can't afford not to. It just works out better if we do. I told our friends in Tulsa the same thing when the husband did not feel they could afford to tithe. He kept saying, until our debt is paid off, we just can't do it. I told him if he would have faith, then the Lord would help pay off his debt sooner than if he didn't have the faith and give. You would think she's a preacher. I tell you what. Guess what? The husband decided to tithe more faithfully this year. And I will say their debt is getting so much closer to being paid off. God is awesome. You know, I read that because, like I said, we tell stories of that. Oh, some things that we read in the paper in different places. And we think of people so far away and people that we don't know. And Brother Aaron and Brother Gary and now Anthony and others, many others that emailed in and said, preacher, this is what God has been doing for us. I'm telling you, when you decide to put God first and do it the biblical way, it actually works better. And so we don't preach these things for any personal benefit. We preach these because my heart's desire is that you'd experience the freedom that God wants you to have. God knows how the family works. God knows how our finances work. God knows how our future works. And our theme this year is Christ is sufficient. In other words, if we will just trust in him and do it his way, guess what? It always works out. The problem is, for some strange reason, we look at, you know, whether it be finances on paper, and we look at our life and say, it's not going to work, and I just got to do it some other way. And I'm telling you, is there any other way but God's? And I wonder how stubborn we're going to be, you know, how we're going to hold out, you know, and not do it God's way, and how much we suffer by refusing to do it the way God planned. I'm here to challenge you, folks, when you finally, by faith, decide on your own to accept God's way, you will have testimonies like this. Guaranteed. No, I'm serious. Guaranteed. You know, there is no debate in my mind. Why? Because God never lies. And either God's a liar or we're a liar. And guess what? I'm pretty sure it's not God. Amen. Well, this morning as we conclude, and this weekend and all that God has done, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'd like to stand with me. This is Paul writing back to the Corinthian church. Now, I got to be honest with you. Most of what the Corinthian church did, you don't want to do. I mean, really, when you read Corinthians, it's a lot of admonition about don't do that and don't do that. I mean, they were immoral, they were carnal, they were ungodly. And it's almost like a perfect model of a church that you shouldn't become, you know, and how not to become a church like Corinth. But I've noticed this. Each of us have our faults, amen? And we're not going to list them right now, okay? But everyone have our faults. But don't we also have strengths? And I'm telling you, the strength of the Corinthian church was their love to give to others in need. It was phenomenal. And in all their weaknesses that we could go over, they also had this great strength that we see at this time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if we would. And as we take a look at this, we'll begin reading in verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if Macedonian come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is, look at this verse, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceedingly grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, we come to you now. We do thank you for your unspeakable gift. Lord, without your son coming and dying on the cross, we would not be here right now. We would have no hope, no joy, no purpose, no peace. Lord, our lives would be miserable. But Lord, we thank you for salvation that comes only through you and the greatest gift that was ever given, the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. Lord, as we give back unto you, unto your work, unto other people, Lord, it is such a small amount that you've requested of us to invest in others. And yet, Lord, as we do so, we pray, Lord, that we might rejoice and others might rejoice as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, as I review this chapter, like I said, so many great things jump out as we take a look at this, and just the joy of getting involved in other people's lives. And that's really what it's all about. As I look at the story in 2 Corinthians 9, I rejoice to see the reputation that has been developed by this church. I tell you, what an honor it is to have a reputation like this. I'll just be honest with you. I would hope to God that Central Baptist Church has such a reputation. We support over 140 missionaries. And often our missionaries will come in and say, man, thank you for 10, 20, 30 years of faithful support that we can be on the field building churches and presenting the gospel around the world. I appreciate that we don't have to get to a point like so many churches do that we make a promise to them and can't meet it. I'm glad that, seriously, as I stand before you as your pastor, for over 20, 30, 40 years to my knowledge, Central Baptist Church has never not made an obligation that we took on. I mean, at one time, have we ever said, yes, Lord, you're leading us in this direction and not made it? And by the way, that's a great testimony to God's people, amen? And that's the way it ought to be. That's the testimony they had. The church in Jerusalem was struggling mightily under great persecution, great, if you want to say, really financial drought. and they couldn't get jobs because of their religion. Things were in a great, dire strait, and that's where kind of Christianity had all began. And now Corinth, who had benefited from the ministers like Paul who came and started a church, and they were saved, well, they were blossoming. They were in a part of the world that was blossoming, and things were going good, and the persecution wasn't great there. And God was blessing them fruitfully, and they looked and said, hey, we're doing well. We've got houses, we've got jobs, we've got money, and things are going good. And of their own free will, they said, hey, why don't we help the church that's there? Why don't we take up an offering? And they came up with one of those amounts. Everybody said, wow, you're going to do that? And what a blessing it was. And the church now, they're coming to collect that which they'd promised a year before to bring relief. And Paul now is saying, what a reputation you have. He said this, when you go down and read it, he said, you have caused many thanksgivings unto God. You know what I like about that? It wasn't thanksgivings just for them. It was thanksgivings unto God. You know that when God's people get involved and do great things, really, for other people, you know who gets the glory? Almighty God. I don't know if you're aware of this. You know why most hospitals were started? Born-again Christians. You know when there's great tragedies in the world? Are you aware who the first responders are? Born-again Christians. You know, you don't see atheist clubs getting together to go help people through Katrina. Okay? Seriously, you won't find one. You don't see agnostics getting together to help people. You see born-again believers who say this, hey, we believe in God and we want to help others. And because of it, you'd be amazed at how many people have come to the saving knowledge of his unspeakable gift. Why? Because Christians gave. They didn't just talk with their mouth. They gave their time, their money, their effort. When somebody really had a need, they said, let us be there to help you. God has provided for us. We, because of God, will provide for you. And those people said, thank you. But then they said, thank God. May I say, everything we do at Central Baptist Church is for one purpose, to glorify God. It's not for us and our glory. It is for God's. But I would hope and pray that we'd have such a reputation that people would say, now that's not a church that takes. That's a church that gives. That's a church that gives to other people. In this, he begins to give us some principles for proper giving. Now, I'm not foolish. This is 2009. And I got to clarify this real quick. It's always a thought on my mind, and it really makes me mad, but I'm allowed to be mad every once in a while. Please, don't watch the TV preachers. Really, I'm sorry that every week they get up and ask for money. I am sorry for that. That's not the way it's designed. If you've been at Central Baptist Church, we don't do that. If this is your first service, you say, I knew it. I came to church and they're asking for money. You know, I'm sorry you picked this day. I'm really not. We're not embarrassed. We're not ashamed of it. But if you've been here any length of time, that's not our standard. And I'm really not even going to apologize for it because this is what we're going through for our church body. But I want you to know something. There is an improper way to do it and there's a proper way to do it, okay? God speaks often about proper ways of giving. And I'm sorry that on TV, every time you hear some message, some guy stands up and says, give, 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 give. Hey, that's not what it's all about. Okay? It's not a bit. But at the same time, we do understand that God blesses his people through giving. And so we're not embarrassed to tell you what the Bible says about it. We pick a time each year to go over that, to remind our people that God can bless you. But there's some principles that go with this. Let's take a look at these principles. First of all, I call it the principle of multiplication. The principle of multiplication. Basically, give and it shall be given unto you, the Bible says. Look what it says here in chapter 9. He says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. That word soweth means, in other words, he that takes what he has and invests it in things, that person is going to reap a lot. He that does not, he that takes what he has and kind of hoards it or hides it, it won't gain. For instance, if I get my paycheck and I cash my paycheck and I put it in a box in my house or hide it under my bed, which I don't do that, so don't break into my house. Okay? Great. Let's go to the pastor's under his bed. You won't find anything but dust bunnies, okay? If you want them, they're yours. My wife's now saying, did he really say that? Because now they think I don't vacuum. Back that up. Okay. That's right. But the reality is, if I were to do that, and I now need a place to stay today. But anyways, if I were to do that, the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't gain anything. You know, why do you put your money in the bank? Well, for interest. Why do you invest in things? To grow more money. It's just wise biblical principles. So God takes this, who taught us this principle, and says this. He that goes and in a very sparingly way gives out, that guess what? Are you ready? When you need it back, guess what you get back? What you put in. We taught principle in a church. You want something out of a church body? And I'm talking about just finances, get involved. You want fellowship? Become a good friend. Get involved. then guess what? When you need it, it comes back. But if you barely get involved, you barely come, and you have a great tragedy in your life, you go, where is everybody when I need them? Well, hey, what did you put in? I mean, you gave very little of your time. You didn't develop friendships and relationships. And so when there was a great need, they weren't there. Now you're mad. You have nothing to get mad at. What? You got back what you put in. Okay? The same thing in a financial way. You know, you give and say, okay, I'm just going to give a little bit to God. And now I got this great big need. Oh, God, give me, give me, give me. And God's up there going, I hear you. But why would I do that? Okay? Why would I do that? It makes no sense at all. You know, don't think that God doesn't hear. God says, wait, I told you the principle. Okay, I appreciate Anthony and Dory's testimony. Man, they said, man, we worked at Conoco, had two full-time jobs, barely making it. Did you hear the testimony? You know, she's not at Conoco anymore. Matter of fact, she used to clean the church, donate the money. And I don't know if she wants me to tell you that or not, but she donated the money from cleaning the church for her building fund. Okay, that stopped. She became a stay-at-home mom. They're now on one income. And guess what? They're paying off their debt and doing better. Now, how does that work? I'll tell you why. They said, we started giving to God the way God said. And we started really getting serious about tithing and giving, and they've given more now. And I don't know what they give. I don't look up tithing records. You know, but whatever they give, they said, we're giving more now. And guess what? We're doing better off. Now, folks, that don't make sense to the world. The world says, keep, grow, grow. God says, you give and I'll give back. I can attest to our own lives. We cannot outgive God. I'm telling you right now, the principle of multiplication is this. Whatever you give to anything, yourself or any finance, whatever you give, you will get back that which you put in. And so I always say, if you don't like the return on something, change what you give. It's that simple. Very clear in the Word of God. But not only that, I like this. It says, principle of attitude. I like what it says. We go down to verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Now look at this. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Did you catch that? You know, I laugh because you have to understand, I've been preaching long enough that when you mention the word money, some of you already went, you know, some of you are going to get up, use the restroom and never come back. We're out of here, preacher. You know, and I laugh because, and this truth, if you've been around here for 20 years, you know, I say this statement every year and it's the truth to me. If it hurts you to give, don't do it. Why? You don't get a blessing and we don't need it. You said, I can't believe you said that, preacher. Yeah, you know why? The Bible says you ought to have a good attitude. You're giving because you love God. It's a joy for you. And if we got to twist you or manipulate you or make you feel guilty or anything, it's not worth it. You ever been given something out of obligation? Have you? Yeah. I've been there where you get something out of obligation. Oh, it's your birthday. Here you go. Here's your card, preacher. Got it last night, Walmart. It was on the ground, found it. Here you go. You like it? Man, am I glad that over. We got cake yet? Isn't it joy to get gifts like that? Don't you just love it when someone's, oh, man, I can't be forgotten, and now I have to go get you something. And my thought is, don't bother. Really. Don't you love it at work? You get one of those awards at work, and they go, oh, yeah, it's your 5-year pin. Bummer. Well, I guess we'll get you something. You know, you're thinking, why? You know, that's not exciting. What you like is, man, when they're excited about it and they plan it and they do something for your birthday or for Christmas and, man, you give it and they're excited to give it and it's not an obligation. It's, man, this is great. Won't you think that's what God wants from us? He saved us, amen? He invests in us. He fixes every problem in our life according to the Word of God. And he says, now, I just want you to give this way. Give your tithe and get involved and do this. And we go, oh, man. And I see God saying, stop. Then don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, really? I don't have to? No, you don't have to. Yeah, I don't have to. And God says, but don't expect one of the promises to come true in your life. Wait a second. God says, not grudgingly, not of necessity, not out of, man, I have to do it, not with a complaining spirit. You and I give, are you ready? Out of joy, because we love our God. Of all the religions in the world, you know what's amazing to me? I don't understand why Christianity has such a hard time with giving to their God. You know, if we go over to the Hindus right now, you know, over in India, they have no problem. I know there's a lot of Muslims as well and Buddhists. But if we look at the Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists, they have no problem giving to their God. And they worship a false God. So here's this false little Buddha with a bald head and a fat belly. And people pet it and rub it. And they take their last bit of rice and give it to it, you know, and I'm looking at there going, you're stupid. I mean, people crawl up steps and they're bloody and they go through all these rituals. They give their last dime, their last dollar, and they're ecstatic. And you walk into a Christian church that has the truth of the Word of God and say, we need to give to our God. You money-hungry preacher. I don't believe this. And I have to be honest with you. I have to point out, you know, I just laugh. I just say, hey, do, say whatever you want. You know, that really doesn't bother me because I tell you what, the Bible is very clear. It does nothing but reveal our heart. I'm going to tell you, you want an acid test of someone's Christianity? Are you ready? Their checkbook. I've gotten to the point, it matters not what somebody says. When you really want to know what somebody believes in and loves, check their checkbook. If you see mine, you'd know what I love. Starbucks. Really, no debate. You'd find out I like electricity. I like gas. I like my house. You say, why? There's payments in there for all those things. I like clothes. You say, well, how would you know that? Look at the checkbook. Our checkbook gives us away. You know, every time. Why? Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there's your heart also. With joy, I write checks for things I enjoy. You know, use that debit card and love it. You'll see a lot of Arby's, Subway. You probably knew that by now. You'll see fast food restaurants. We're like this. If they ever shut down, I'm in big trouble. You say, preacher, I can't believe you say that. Well, yeah, how do you know that? You just look. Well, that's what I'm investing in. Okay? I do. Matter of fact, when I go to Starbucks, they start making my drink when I walk in the door. Not really. I walk in, they go, I got it ready, preacher. Here, I can't ever change it now, really, because it's already being made before I get up there to order. You know, because you get the same thing. They know me by name. I know them by name. I haven't got to birthdays yet, but we're working on it. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Well, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what we love. It is so easy to tell everybody, I love God, and me and God are like this, but I'm going to help you with that. You know, are you investing in the things of God? All the faults of Corinthian church, and we could list them, there's one thing you could not say, that they did not love God. So how do you know that? They proved it. When other churches were in need, they got together and they gave bountifully and willingly and excitedly, and there was a joy. I can imagine when they took up the offering, there was this, woohoo! Yeah, they're coming to get the bounty that we promised. This is great! There wasn't, how much do we got to give? What do we got to do? Listen, if that's you, I want to say shame, but I want to say this more. How do you live that way? I'm telling you, I love to go to church. I love to be in the house of God. I can sort of great joy. When I write out my tithe check, it's not, honey, get me a drink. We're going to put this in. We don't fight over it. I mean, that's standard thing. And you know why? Because we're investing in people. We're investing in people. Folks, there's principles of giving. Principle of multiplication, principle of attitude, principle of purpose. Look what it says in verse 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Every man as God is led through faith and he says, listen, I'm purposing to do this. Nobody's manipulated me. Nobody's changed me. Nobody said I had to. It's between me and God. You'll notice our building promise cards. There's no name on there. It's between you and God. I have no idea what anybody's giving. That's up to them. I know what we're doing. That's it. But the fact of the matter is that's between you and God. It's something that somebody says, I purpose to do this. Why? Because that's what God wants me to do. And so someone goes forward. So I look at this and I say, what great principles. Well, there's some others, though. The reputation was there. But I also go back up to verse 2 and 3. I like this. In verse 2, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. And look at this. And your zeal hath provoked very many. Man. We read last night in 1 Chronicles 29. Brother Colts was there this morning as well. But it talks about provoking. And how David gathered all the stuff for the building of the temple. And then he himself gave personally. And when he gave personally, verse 6 says, then the chief priests, then the chief captains, then those that were with David say, hey, if he's going to do that, I want to get involved. I look at this. And when the Corinthian church said, hey, we want to give this, as Paul was telling the story to other churches said, wait a minute. Why do they get all the fun? We want to give to the church of Jerusalem too. Oh, you do? Yeah, okay, He went to church. And then they went to this church. Well, you know, this church is doing this, this church is doing this. Another church said, well, what about us? Can we get involved? He provoked. In other words, they inspired or challenged them to get involved. Do you know every one of you here are provoking somebody to something? What are you provoking people to do? Some of you are provoking them to scream. Some of you are provoking them to run. Some of you are provoking them to depression pills. Some of you are provoking maybe to get involved. I'm a firm believer we provoke people to something. You are inspiring or challenging people to something. I've often said, we're talking about giving our life to Jesus Christ. One of the benefits of this is my life and everything about it provoking, inspiring, challenging people to want to know my God. Or is it not? And I just think that we ought to be provoking people, don't you? Matter of fact, I'm going to help you. You are, whether you realize it or not. You say, preacher, I have no influence on everybody and anybody. Wake up. Everybody here has a major influence. Everybody here has an influence on somebody. And many times you don't even know who it is. There are certain people I think that I'm influencing or have an influence. And I'm amazed at people that know me that I don't know them. And they know about my life. They know about my kids and my family. And I'm looking at them going, I don't know you. You know? Yeah, what do you mean? So in other words, I'm having an influence on this person I don't know. Yeah, and so are you. People know where you work, what you do, where you shop. They know something about you. And you're provoking them in one way or another. And many people know you go to Central Baptist Church. I think we had a message a couple weeks ago, and I'll remind you again about Central Baptist Church. Are you ready? Some of you are the only Bible people will ever see. And are you realizing this? Do you know some of you, the only thing they know about Central Baptist Church, stop and think about this, is you? I'm going to tell you, for some of you, I'm really excited about that. And for others, ouch. I mean, think about it. Our teens go to school, and they're talking, and one of them says, I go to Central Baptist Church. And you have a youth at the high school or junior high that's never been to our church. All they know about our church is you. Your attitude, your spirit, your conduct speaks volumes about our church. And you're going to provoke them to say, I need to go try that. That sounds like a real church. Or you're going to provoke them to say, I will never, ever step foot in that church. Do you realize there could be people not coming to find out about God because of us? Us? Yeah, we got a new building. They're going, yeah, but if you're there, I don't want to go. I mean, seriously. It's that big. Yeah, but come meet the pastor. Come meet the leaders. Come. It doesn't matter. They know you. And you're either giving such a testimony that people say, man, I want to come check things out. Or you're giving such a testimony. And by the way, they won't say anything. They really won't. Okay? You're not going to knock on the door and say, hey, why aren't you coming? They're going to go, oh, busy. Oh, got things going on. And inside they're going, oh, because you're there. Really? Because if that's Christianity, really, that's what the church believes? Now, like it or not, and I don't really like it all the time, I'll be honest as pastor, but we are so often judged, are you ready, by the weakest member of Central Baptist Church. So when you say I don't matter, you matter more than you think. Because the world wants nothing better than to find somebody who's a member of Central Baptist Church who maybe isn't what they ought to be yet. And folks, we've got that, man. You know, and by the way, I'm thankful we have everything at Central Baptist Church. We have people at every different level growing, amen? But that's also why we ought to be cognizant of that, that not just here, where we accept that in this building, okay, because you're at a different level, praise God. But understand, when you're somewhere else, the importance of living for God is huge. Because why? We provoke. This church here, because of one thing, their dedication to giving to a church that was in need provoked all kinds of other people. And I thought about that and I said, wouldn't it be nice if we had such a provoking influence? But the number one thing is this. Can I tell you what I really want to provoke people for? Salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, we've talked about the building, and if you're a guest here and you've not been through our several conferences and so forth, you may not be aware of this. And I've said it all weekend, but we didn't build a building to have the nicest building in Ponca City. People come in. It's the nicest building right now because it's new. Really, I bet we're probably nicer than any other church. Why? It's the newest church. Okay, but as people walk through it and get their muddy feet on the carpet and the greasy handprints on the walls and they start busting things up and chipping things, it won't be probably the newest in time. But right now, it's the newest. We didn't build Central Baptist Church to be the largest church in town. Okay? That was never our heart intent. We're not in competition with other churches. Find out who can be the biggest and the best. No. Well, what'd you do it for? Well, if you know the story, God was blessing and God was growing and God was provoking people to come. And we ran out of space, so we built it for one reason. So we can continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as God would send. And as long as he's sending them, we're willing to invest our time, yes, our money. I think we all admitted as a church group, we didn't want a building payment. We were in unison. We're all like, we don't want to do that. But we came to the conclusion that it was necessary, so we did it. Why? Well, it would have been a lot easier to stay in Hartford, I'll tell you right now. Would have been a lot easier to just stay right there, build a little bitty building, and just say, hey, us and no more. Let's just hang on and ride it out till Jesus comes back. I hate debt. I told you as your pastor, I'm not standing up every week and asking for money. It's not happening. You said you are today. One day. No, but seriously, it's not going to happen. You're not going to come back next week. I'm going to say, okay, give. I don't know when the next time you'll hear a word about it. I just believe, hey, God's going to provide, and he has provided. And by the way, God's providing great. I'll just be honest right now. Church is going great. God's providing great. People are on board because we're doing it as a team. But I'm going to tell you this much right now. This place was built. This place was built so the gospel of Jesus Christ could reach all of K County. And whatever God's going to do, he's going to do. And every investment and everything we do is to provoke people to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's about. And I hope everything we're doing is provoking people to come in to say, we want to find out about God. Well, he doesn't end there. He goes down. Look with me real quick in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So many things. I like verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace, I love this, abound towards you. I appreciate our testimonies last night as well as Anthony and Doris today. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now listen, people that give believe that. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all, what's that word? Sufficiency. In all things may abound to every good work. That word sufficient means ability. In other words, God says, God is able, if you invest in the things of God, in the house of God, in other words, you won't have less. God is able to make sure that you have everything you need. And often even more than that. And testimony after testimony has been emailed to me over the last 2 weeks of people saying, preacher, this is what God's done in my life. This is what God's done to my life. This is what God's done to my life. And it seems like the more we give and get involved, things are way better than we ever thought that they could be. And we don't understand it. I say, of course we understand it. How? God is able. And our whole purpose of the month of February is to tell you this. Don't be afraid of what's coming up. God has not led us to be people of fear. Fear brings torment. I refuse to live in fear in the middle of a recession. I'll tell you right now. Well, aren't you scared about your retirement? I'm 43. Of course I'm not afraid of my retirement. What about us that are 70 and 80, preacher? What about us? Aren't you afraid about, you know, your investments and your house that you're going to lose it? No. Aren't you afraid about your job? Well, not yet. After the message, maybe. I don't know. You know, who knows? Well, what about, aren't you? Wait, God said he has not given us the spirit of fear. Why would I be afraid when I read in this book that says, hey, you just do what you're supposed to do and understand this, God is able to take care of you. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it for each individual family, but we've heard three testimonies this weekend of unique things how God provided in ways they couldn't even figure out. And all I know is this, he promised it, he'll do it. And it's time that we as a people stand up and say, my God is sufficient. And I've told you, and we're gonna end this series with this thought as well. I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, what a great glory to God that in the middle of one of the worst times in the United States of America, that God's people will be able to flourish. Why? Because God is able. And when others are in fear and panic and wondering what to do, God's people are going to stand up and say, no, we have a sufficient God. He is able to take care of all my needs and everything that I have. Why? Because he is God. Well, how are you going to make it? I'm going to trust God. What do you mean? Who are you going to call for advice? God. What are you going to do? God. What about God? Well, yeah, but God. You mean, that's your answer, preacher? It's a pretty good one. Pretty good one. Just going to call these financial people for help? Nope. Now, whether you do or not, that's up to you. And if I did, I still wouldn't trust them. I don't know if you've seen their track record the last year or not. I don't have investments, so that makes it easy. But seriously, if you checked out the track, I get my IRA in, I just quit looking at it. I don't even open it sometimes. I just throw it in the little tray. You said, why? Well, once again, I'm not retiring for 20, 30 years. But secondly, I don't want to see it anymore. My little bitty IRA has lost like 30, 40%. And I don't want to live in fear. You say, okay, yeah, but what about our retired people? What are they going to do? Hey, even those that have to retire right now that have lost a lot, can I help you? God's able. God's able. Well, what? No. If he's just as able for me, he's just as able for you. And this did not take him by surprise. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm this confident. There's not one of God's children, are you ready? Who are committed to God's promises that God will not take care of. Now, let me give you this thought. You say, well, shouldn't the riches give the most? No.
Oh.
Let me tell you who should be giving the most at Central Baptist Church. The poorest here. That's a surprise. I thought we'd pick on the rich people today. I would, but we don't have any. I've checked. You got to go to Texas for that. I was just in church in Texas, a couple millionaires. I'm sitting there going, what? We went into Austin, they got a couple millionaires. What? I looked up at God going, hello, building program. God's like, you'll be fine. I mean, they could write a check for it right now and pay off the $2.5 million that we still owe. And I'm like going, hello. God's like, you're not in Texas. Welcome to Oklahoma. You say, so who needs it? Well, this is what I've noticed. If I'm broke and I need, this is going to hurt some of you, but it's the truth. But Tony, if things are going bad, you sat in the fourth, fifth row, that's your fault. If things are going bad, Tony, and you're not making a lot, it doesn't seem like you're going to make it, the best thing you could do is give to God. Well, why would I do that? Well, because you need more. Well, yeah, but if I give this away, I'm going to have less. No, you'll have more. Are you okay, preacher? I'm fine. So what you're saying is, if I have less and need more, I give to God and God gives me more. You got it. That's exactly right. If you follow the biblical pattern and the testimonies you heard in the last 2 or 3 days, this is what you'll find. The people who needed it the most said this, I better start investing in God because God said he is able, but he will only match that promise to those who are faithfully doing what they're supposed to be doing. In other words, you and I have no right to go before God with all of our needs if we're not doing what he's commanded us to do. As a matter of fact, you go to all the other principles in the Word of God, and God has already said, if you refuse to trust me in this area of giving, then I will put holes in your bag. Haggai chapter 1 and 2. Malachi 3, I will let the devourer come, and you'll work more, and you'll make less. Oh, no, no. On paper, you'll make more, but you'll have more bills, and you'll be making less overall because you keep going in the hole into more debt. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. So you think it's a financial thing? It's a spiritual thing. I've talked to people, and by the way, and no offense, but people that make more, a lot of times they think, what's my need for God? You'll be surprised. You know who gives the less? Are you ready? Most people that make more give less. On a percentage, when incomes rose over the last 10 years, giving decreased in churches. Only 2.9% of born-again believers tithe, which is 10%. 97% of those who claim to be Christians tithe. That's the United States of America. Can I ask you what the debt load and the distress load of finances is in America today? And I'm not talking about just the world. I'm talking about Christians. Could it be because we, as well as the world, has abandoned biblical principles? I broke that down and I told everybody at the banquet last night. They broke it down into Protestants and so forth. And it's like 20% of Protestants don't give a dime to God. Did you catch that? I'll tell you how amazing that is. My cousin, who's out in California, just started going to church about a year ago. You have to understand, she didn't grow up in church. She visited sporadically in a Christian Alliance church. I'm out there visiting with her. We're driving in the car. She said, Johnny, she's the only one allowed to call me that, so let it go. She goes, Johnny, listen, she's talking. She knows I'm a preacher. And she goes, we just started going to this church. It's a Calvary Chapel. And I said, oh, amen. So I'm talking to her about what they teach and so forth. And out of the blue, I mean, I don't say a word. I'm just, hey, good to see you. I'm letting her talk. Amen. I'm not saying a word. She's talking away. She goes, I got to ask you a question. I'm like, okay. Now, I understand. She's been visiting for about a month at this time. Mainly Sunday morning is it. She goes, I got to ask you a question about giving. I'm like, huh? I mean, I figured she has doctrine or something. I'm like, okay. She goes, listen, I feel like since I'm going to this church and we're gaining a spiritual benefit, I ought to give something. I said, who are you? I've not said a word to her. I'm like, okay. I said, why do you feel that way? She goes, well, it just makes natural sense. She goes, I mean, if you're going to be a part of something, you're going to get something back, you give back to it. I go, yeah, you're right. She goes, but this thing, I've heard this thing called tithing. How do you do that? And she started asking about her, and she goes, my husband doesn't go, how to do it. So I gave her some advice. But I'm sitting there going, here's a person not even active that knows it's just a logical thing to say, hey, I ought to give to my God in the place that's benefiting me. And yet you walk in the house of God, and seriously, fundamentalists, are you ready? That's us. 33% across the nation don't give even a penny to God. 33%. You say, why are you saying that, preacher? I'm saying that because of this. In a time where we're going to head into great financial recession, maybe a depression, and things are going to get bad. It is my job to tell you not to give so that, oh, you can just take care of us. It's my job to tell you, you want God's blessings, we better start trusting him now. And if we're not willing to give to him now, we have no right to expect him to bail us out. Because the bailout that's happening now is not a good bailout. And you can expect a couple more after that too, by the way. Hang on. And they're not going to work either. Why? Back up into history, folks. Go back to, what is it, FDR, and do a little bit of history research and see what takes place. Now, I'm not here to debate all that. I'm just here to tell you, we kind of live our Christian life that way as well. And we wonder why it's not going to work. I'm telling you, because we're not doing what God has said. And I think if we would just be a people that would get back into the Word, and like the Corinthian church would just say, hey, with a joy we'll give, with an excitement we'll give, with a joy we'll help provoke others to find the true way. And that is, if I invest in others, God will take care of me, period. But if I refuse to do what he says, and if I don't have enough faith to trust that if I give some to God, he'll take care of everything else, that if I'll just trust him with my tithe, my offerings, that he'll take care of it. If I don't believe that, you know, I can't do that, then you might want to hang on, because there probably are some pretty rough roads ahead. And you really have nothing to hang on to. Because, folks, the only people that have anything to hang on to are those who say, God, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for what you've done. I'm going to obey you. And then, woo, watch what God does. I'm just here to tell you, folks, our God is sufficient. We just got to trust him. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, we, if each one of us could stop and talk about what we have. I know Brother Scott spoke a couple weeks ago about materialism. Lord, you've so blessed us. And yet so many are in such bondage, Lord. And I think one of the reasons is, Lord, because we've lost our perspective on what true giving is. Lord, true giving is giving to you. It's giving in faith. It's giving in joy because of what you've done, the unspeakable gift of salvation you've given us, that we can then take the message and propagate it around the world. Every church has practical needs, Lord. You've designed that the giving of your people would take care of those. And you said you'd provide through them. Lord, my heart's desire for our membership is clearly this, Lord. Not that we would gain something from it, Lord, but that they would gain and find true freedom, true financial freedom, that they'd not have to live in fear in this terrible economic time. That even now, when it's looking so dim and some are losing jobs and things are looking so bad, that, Lord, they'd realize their best way out of it is to trust you with their finances. If we learn to start tithing and giving, Lord, you've promised you'd take care. I don't know what the need is here today, Lord, but this I know. There are some that need to come, and for whatever reason, whatever area, need to say, Lord, I need to quit being afraid and start trusting you more, because you are sufficient. Lord, I pray that you'd move in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by and visit us just 1 mile north of Ponca at the intersections of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.